Blog Talk Radio.
That sounded bad. Anyway, here we are, ladies and gentlemen, live from the Paragon Radio News Satellite, broadcasting from a low elevation of 6 feet above sea level. You go figure that one out. Anyway, I'm Pogo Man, host of Paragon Radio. And we're on a special night after being off for a few weeks due to technical difficulties. It's a special Saturday night edition. It's 9:05 on the East Coast. And here we are. And along with me tonight, not one, but two co-hosts. First, let me bring on the first co-host. He's always with me. He's always here. He's mad. He's a Viking. He's Mad Viking.
Live from New York, it's Saturday night. Oh, that's already copyrighted.
Yeah, I know. You know, as soon as I said that, I was like, you know, I feel like we need to say that. And she's here with us, not so often, but we're glad she's here with us, ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Sovereign Rain.
Howdy ho, good neighbor.
Howdy ho.
I was doing Home Improvement. I don't know who the hell that was.
That was
be Mr.
Hanky.
The Christmas
I guess
pool.
I could get me a straw hat with a price tag on it and do a Minnie Pearl, but then we'd have to spend the whole show explaining who Minnie Pearl was.
That's all right. Too many copyright infringements.
Well, actually, he didn't. All he just said was live from It's Saturday Night. He didn't say live.
No, he did say live. No, Don Pardo did say live when doing the announcement.
Yeah, but you didn't. So you didn't.
Yes, he did.
I went Saturday night. Oh, that's copyright. I stopped at the last second.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
That's what I'm talking about. I agree. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Okay. I was going to say, how apropos. I know we always do the Batman intro, but more apropos tonight in tribute to the sad news that we got yesterday, the sad passing of Dennis O'Neill.
And for those who do not know,
shame on you. What the hell's the matter with you people?
No. The Silver Age writer, best known for two things. One, the Green Lantern, Green Arrow team-up of the 70s, bringing in social stuff into the comics. The best storyline would be when they found out that Speedy / Roy Harper / Arsenal / Red Arrow was a junkie. And the
Boy,
other one...
Wasn't that appropriate? His name was Speedy?
Ooh.
Think about it.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that he's best known for also is after being killed off in the 40s, bringing back from the dead the Joker.
Well, I didn't know who he was.
Wait a minute. He was killed off in the 40s and he was brought back from the dead?
Yeah.
I know these things. I'm just...
Come on. The only character that's still dead is Dove. You can't even say Uncle Ben anymore.
Or is Dove. Or is Dove.
And there's a reason for that. But I have to confess, I didn't know who that guy was, so I'm sorry. But growing up, unless it was a Superman comic book, I didn't pay no attention to it.
Well, he didn't do Superman, so okay. She has a legitimate excuse.
Yeah, she does. But still, you heard the name.
And
you
I really
the name.
Didn't
I mean, was out there.
Read who wrote it. I was into the comic, the character, not really who wrote it, who drew him.
You know,
I wasn't into the technical part.
For a long, long while, I never read the credits of the books either. I just read them. And then one of my friends goes, you know, you read the books, you should read the credits to know who writes them. Because for
the
longest time, I only read a couple comic books a month. You know, I only read like two books a month for the longest time. It's like, you should read the credits to know who, you know. So I was like, all right, fine. Teen Titans.
Well, when I watch a movie, I don't read the credits
either. Wolfman, George Perez.
There's people that sit at the movie house reading all of the credits at the end of the movie, I'm down in my car on the road.
Well,
back at the house, so time you got done with the credits,
I'm already
in my nightgown from bed.
Book, yeah, but Ray, in a comic book, you open the page and read it. It's right there. You could stare at it.
It's on the front page. Well, nowadays it's on the last page on DC.
And right, that's what I mean, the last people. But yeah, but a movie, I mean, for God's sakes, if you're watching, oh, especially if you're watching on TV, forget it. You go whiplash and you get eye strain. You go blind. You whip them by so fast.
I never really read the credits in the magazine either. I was just too interested in what was going to happen to the character and stuff. I mean,
right, but
what I'm saying,
hold on, Rain, stop. In the comic book, it's the writer, the artist, the color. Because I've taken a class on coloring, you better know the color, because they deserve credit for that, because they can make, trust me, a color and a letterer, especially a letterer, because they can make or break a comic too, because I've seen bad lettering in a comic book where I could barely read the special effects lettering. I'm like, what the hell is that supposed to be? I've seen bad special effect, bad lettering in a comic book that ruined the book. It's like, what? good lettering in a book adds to it.
Well, I didn't even know they changed Superman's outfit until me and my nephew went to go, because he's a big Superman fan too. So we went to go see Man of Steel, and then we're sitting there watching it, and in the first scene where he's in the suit, we're looking like,
where's the red underwear?
What's y'all doing to the
suit? Yeah.
It's like, what the hell is this? You can't go and change the suit. And at first,
all right,
Buddy
Wolf is in the chat room going, hello, the Christmas shite. The Christmas shite.
Bloody Wolfie, yes, he knew Mr. Hanky.
Texas accent, it would have come out sounding so much different. Because you said Shiite or something like that?
Well, put the E in, so therefore it, in case there
said it, I would have brought back the whole George Bush with those, well, the shits over there in Afghanistan. And he did say Shiite. I mean, because us in Texas was trying to figure out what the rest of the world was so mad about them. Because they were mad because he mispronounced
Shiite. Shiite, not Shiite.
We actually heard him pronounce it as Shiites, but the rest of the world heard him say shits. And we were trying to figure out why y'all were so mad. The rest of the world was so mad. But here in Texas, we were cool with it.
Yeah, but I'm saying.
Hello. Okay, the drinking game
is
back. Okay.
No, I was here the whole time. I just shut up for a second.
Oh, okay.
But we're getting off topic to the show, so I will shut up now.
No, you haven't been here for a while. Let me explain this. When it started happening, when Pogoman loses his microphone, you got to take a drink.
Right.
I thought it went out again, and I was like, uh-oh, we're going to do a comic book show without the comic book.
No, I'm
That's
here.
Like
we think we figured out what happened, hopefully.
It's like flying the plane, and you're like the navigator or something, and you look up, and both the planes are gone, and you're like, who's going to fly the plane? And everybody's looking at you, and you're like, oh, y'all are so dumb.
Oh, Bogo knows I can fly off from the seat of my pants on that one.
Okay.
Bloody Wolf is going like,
get,
I haven't drank yet.
Okay. Let's get to the big news. All right. I'm going to start muting people. All right. Let's get to the big news of the week. That is iconic Batman scribe Denny O'Neil passed away Friday. Let's see. A longtime Batman writer and editor, Denny O'Neil, passed away on June 11th, which is actually Thursday, from natural causes. O'Neil was 81 years old, and he leaves behind a rich legacy in the field of comics. He got his start at Marvel Comics in the late 60s and early 70s. There, O'Neil first collaborated with artist Neil Adams on an issue of X-Men. After moving on to DC Comics, O'Neil and Adams had a groundbreaking run on Green Lantern, which also redefined Green Arrow, as Mad Viking already discussed. However, O'Neil and Adams are best known for their contributions to the Batman mythos. Together, they took the reins of Batman's monthly adventures and reintroduced Joker, as we discussed, and Two-Face. They also co-created Ra's al Ghul and his daughter Talia, More importantly, they returned Batman to his Dark Knight roots after years of lighthearted stories inspired by the Adam West-led Batman TV series. O'Neill and Adams also worked together on the Superman vs. Muhammad Ali special, which is one of the most famous comics from the 70s. When O'Neill returned to Marvel, he scripted Amazing Spider-Man and oversaw Frank Miller's run on Daredevil. Additionally, O'Neill coined the name Optimus Prime while working with Marvel to develop Hasbro's Transformers. In 1986, O'Neill returned to DC as an editor and oversaw the Batman titles for 14 years. Outside of comics, O'Neill wrote episodes of Batman the Animated Series and G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero. He was also a novelist and a teacher who passed on what he had learned to several generations of comic creators. Now, there you go. So guess this what? He did work on Superman.
This is so sad. All of our heroes are dying. This is the second death announcement that you did. I think we should play the Star Trek bagpipes.
If I have them. I don't think I have them.
That's me with my show.
Yeah, so on your show
but
you have to
do it. But it's sad because, I mean, just the other day I heard, you know, the villain from the Flash movie died. Von, what's his name?
Max von Sydow? Yeah, that was a while back ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
well,
was a
I
while
remember
back.
Him because I remember him from a lot of war movies. I've seen him.
To
me, I know
von
him more
Sydow.
As. Yeah, to me, I know him more
yeah,
as
Ming,
the guy
yeah,
that played
the
German office. Yeah, mm-hmm. but.
Yeah, but
I've seen a lot
died
of.
Died a while
his,
ago.
I've seen
but
a lot
he died
of
a while ago.
Movies,
he didn't die recently.
I know, but I've seen a lot of his war movies. To me, he's the guy who played the German officer in the Sylvester Stallone soccer movie, where there were POWs and they had to play
Victory.
Soccer.
Victory.
Yeah, I know him
Victory.
From that. I know him
or,
from.
If you want to say it in French, Victoire.
Yeah.
I remember that movie. At the end, the whole stadium is yelling, Victoire, as they're helping they're repeating that over and over again as they're helping the POW team escape. That
I
was awesome.
Watched
that. They were all saying it as a tie, and all of a sudden, all the fans, they storm the field, and they're helping the POW team escape through the main tunnel, and they're throwing regular clothes on them. And the German team's like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
And the German is like, what the fuck is going on here? That was awesome. You just hear Victoire. As they tie the Germans wiping at the last second regulation. Pele was in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sylvester Stallone was in that movie.
I rewatched that movie.
Michael Caine was in that movie.
Took me.
I remember seeing that movie as a kid. Yep. And that was just on a couple of months ago. I was like, oh shit, I remember this movie.
Yeah. Well, I think I found it on
a bunch of, I guess in the 70s, a bunch of big soccer or football stars.
Me and you being in New York, you know, we actually cheered for the New York Cosmos when Pele was in it.
Oh,
no, I didn't.
It don't have nothing to do with comics.
No,
but remind me to ask
you
Mad Peter about the Blue Angels and Thunderbirds. I was Googling some planes and stuff, and I saw on YouTube where recently in New York, a flyover, the Thunderbirds and the Blue Angels flew together in unison and were doing flying tricks.
Yeah, it was a tribute to all the people that's been working in the hospitals, the nurses, the doctors. Also, at that time being, it was, you know, the police, the EMTs, the fire, for all the essential
heroes.
Well,
for your future references, you see that again or know what's happening, get your camera and film that because that, I
I'm
love
not in the city.
No, this is in New York City. This isn't New York. Yeah, New York isn't this little bubble snow globe. New York is a huge state.
Well, then you better get to the city and videotape it for me because That is something
they don't announce. They don't announce these things ahead of time. They just do them.
Oh, that's kind of like men having sex. They don't announce it ahead of time. They just do it. The time you realize they're doing it, they're done.
Hey, family show here. Holy mercy.
The show has been rated PG-13 by the Motion Picture Association of America.
The Blue Angels have been my eyes forever.
Right.
I love this.
Okay, so last week, I'm going to get to in a little bit, we were discussing Ruby Rose. Well, the last time we did the show, Ruby Rose left Batwoman because her schedule, the schedule was too, we shunned her. Yes, we shunned Ruby Rose because
I was giving her a chance. You know, saying it could have been injuries.
No, and then we found out the truth. She even said it. The schedule was too long. She didn't say injury. It was just the schedule. The 23-episode season was too long for her. The schedule was too long for her. Remember that? We went through that whole thing. We shunned her. We did the mighty boost. We turned our backs to her. I got to do a little bit of a back turning to CW. Because now, the Flash and the CW, they have fired Hartley Sawyer over offensive social media remarks. Now,
okay.
Who's this guy, you might ask? Well.
Yeah.
Okay, well, now I'm going to get to all this. Hold on. It looks like Team Flash may be down a member when the Flash returns for its 7th season. But now, as we've discussed the last time, all these shows aren't coming back till January because of COVID-19. But according to the Hollywood Reporter, Hartley Sawyer has been fired from the Flash over offense social media posts from years ago. As a matter of fact, it was years ago before he was even hired by the CW. Hartley Sawyer
this is a good lead into
Ralph
that other
Finney,
argument.
AKA the elongated man. What?
It's a good segue to your other argument of that freedom of speech thing.
Right, that we discussed. Right, but hold on, let me finish now. Sawyer had been playing. Sawyer had played Ralph Dibny, the elongated man, since the 4th season of The Flash. But THR notes that Sawyer's remarks were made before he joined The Flash in 2014. The Hollywood Reporter also shared a few examples of Sawyer's resurfaced tweets. Among the tweets users surfaced in the past 2 weeks are one from 2012, in which Sawyer wrote, "The only thing keeping me from doing mildly racist tweets is the knowledge that Al Sharpton would never stop complaining about me." That's true. In 2014, he wrote, "Enjoyed a secret boob viewing at an audition today." Several tweets refer to assaulting women, and one reads, "Date rape myself so I don't have to masturbate." Okay.
He wrote that?
He wrote that.
Okay.
All right. The producers of The Flash subsequently issued a statement. Hartley Sawyer will not be returning for season 7 of The Flash. In regards to Mr. Sawyer's post on social media, we do not tolerate derogatory remarks that target any race, ethnicity, national origin, gender, or sexual orientation. Such remarks are antithetical to our values and policies, which strive and evolve to promote a safe, inclusive, and productive environment to our workforce. Additionally, Sawyer acknowledged his post and shared an apology on his Instagram account. "My words, irrelevant of being meant with an intent of humor, were hurtful and unacceptable," wrote Sawyer. "I'm ashamed I was capable of these really horrible attempts to get attention at the time. I regret them deeply. This was not acceptable behavior. These were words I threw out at a time with no thought or recognition of the harm my words could do, and now have done today." It's unclear Sawyer's role will be recast. Ralph Dibny's role was increased in season 6 when the show introduced Natalie Dreyfus as Sue Dearborn. As you know, goes on to marry Ralph Dibny.
Okay.
In the
what
DC
character
universe,
did he play?
They're a married couple. In the comics, Ralph and Sue eventually... Oh, okay. I should just read the whole paragraph before I make these side notes, because the next sentence it goes on to say. In the comics, Ralph and Sue eventually married and shared adventures together. The season 6 finale set up a new Ralph and Sue storyline after she was framed for murder. Okay. So, yeah. So, as I'm saying, you know, they're an established couple in the DC Universe. They're like a main couple. You
what
know,
character did he play?
Elongated.
Ralph Dibny.
Okay. I didn't even know. Okay. But I'm just saying, I watched the show, but I didn't even know who he
was. Right. He's a main hero in the universe.
But
the stretchy guy.
I don't know these people's real names. And there's a lot of people out there that watch the show that don't know them. Look at Star Trek. How long did it take William Shatner to tell all the fans that showed up at his Trek cons going, "I'm not Kirk, I'm William Shatner. Kirk is a character."
That was an SNL joke.
Yeah.
But still, a lot of people don't know him as his real name. They know him as the Elongated Man. But anyway, okay, whatever.
Yeah, but okay.
And we don't follow every word he says on every
Frame. Shush, you're making these stories take 15 times longer than they have to be.
So the short version is... The short version is he got the game.
Three
he got the
top,
James Gunn treatment.
He's right because he's one of the top three detectives in the DC universe. That's a good detective. So for him not to be there next year, it's like there's a huge void. It's like, where's our top detective? Don't know. It's like you just can't. You're writing two characters out unless you recast them.
Well, in the case of Batwoman, they're going to bring in a totally different Batwoman.
But in this case, you can't have a different Ralph. You can't recast another elongated man. You have to recast the character.
Yeah, I know.
You have to have Ralph. In this case, you have to recast that character.
I think as an elongated man would be a stretch.
But I'm done. Oh, okay, hold on here.
And
now,
this is the part of this show
speaking
where Pogo Man recasts C now.
Speaking of Batwoman, showrunner shoots down rumor about Kate Kane's fate. Ruby Rose's decision to leave Batwoman ahead of season 2 has led to some questions about the fate of her character, Kate Kane. Batwoman's producers have indicated that a new character will inherit the role, as we've discussed before. Instead of recasting Kate, however, that led to rumors that Kate will be killed off in the upcoming season. That's why Batwoman showrunner Carolyn Dries took to Twitter to shoot down, and there's a whole line missing. Wow. As a lesbian who's been working as a writer for the past 15 years, I'm well aware of the bury your gays trope, and I have no interest in participating in it, Rodriguez. My comments about recasting Batwoman have launched a storm of rumors and misinformation. I wanted to clarify something. Like you, I love Kate Kane. She's the reason I wanted to do the show. We'll never erase her. In fact, her disappearance will be one of the mysteries of season 2, added Dries. I don't want to give away any of our surprises, but to all our devoted fans, please know that LGBTQ+ society... plus justice is at the very core of what Batwoman is, and we have no intention of abandoning that. Kate Kane's disappearance may echo Bruce Wayne's unexplained absence, which is one of the reasons Kate became Batwoman. But it also leaves the door open for Kate to appear again. If Rose is unwilling or unable to reprise her role, perhaps Kate will eventually be recast. Batwoman Season 2 is expected to premiere in early 2021. There you go.
So in other words, it'll be a very interesting CW season to
quite
see what they do.
So, now,
there we go.
So I'm on a completely different note here.
My turn?
Bruce Campbell.
Oh.
Bruce Campbell. Bruce Campbell. You're not
okay.
Bruce Campbell, are you? No, you're not.
Yep.
You're a Viking. Bruce Campbell shares plans. He shares plans for a new Evil Dead movie.
There we go.
All right. The future of the Evil Dead franchise has been hazy ever since Ash vs. Evil Dead ended in 2018. Boo. Sorry, it was canceled by a Starz encore. Boo, canceled. They had one more season. They had two more seasons they wanted to do. Boo, it was canceled 2 weeks before the season finale. Boo. That's why I'm booing. I'm not booing Bruce Campbell. Never boo Bruce Campbell. But while Bruce Campbell has insisted that he's done playing Ash Williams, he isn't abandoning the franchise. In a new interview with Empire, Campbell revealed that a new film set in the Evil Dead universe is indeed in the works. In fact, he and creator Sam Raimi have already chosen a director for the project. We're just getting off the phone with Lee Cronin, who is writing and directing the next Evil Dead. It's called, ready for this? It's called Evil Dead Now. Sam handpicked Lee. What?
And I'm just going like, now, okay.
Evil Dead Now. Sam handpicked Lee. He did a cool movie called The Hole in the Ground. We're going to get that sucker out as soon as practical. The Hole in the Ground.
Right?
Mark Cronin's first.
What?
Wait a minute, I'm not
done. There you are. Okay.
I'm just listening.
I'm so reading.
Let him
here.
Talk.
You don't call it. Hey, I'm
sorry.
Still reading here. The Hole in the Ground, Mark Cronin's first feature film after previously only directing shorts and TV episodes. Incidentally, the same was true of Fede Alvarez when he made his own feature directorial debut with the Evil Dead reboot in 2013. That film centered on a new female protagonist and only featured Campbell's Ash in post-credits cameo appearance. And, according to Campbell, introduced new lead characters is the key to the franchise's longevity. From this point forward, they kind of have to stand on their own, added Campbell, which is fine, and liberating. You could have different heroes, different heroines in this case. This one's going to be a little more dynamic. We just want to keep the series current. And the mantra, really, is that our heroes and heroines are just regular people. That's what we're going to continue.
All right. So it'll be interesting to see who picks up the mantle, or in this case, the chainsaw.
The chainsaw and the boomstick.
Ah, yes.
I'd like to see him like pass on the power of the Chosen One, though. You know what I mean? How he's like, how Ash has been the Chosen One.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see him be able to pass on the power. You know what I mean?
I'm assuming it's going to be the I'm kind of leaning for a blood relation.
Well, the last season of Ash vs. Evil Dead on Stars, he has a daughter.
Okay.
You find out he has a daughter, and they were going to do two more seasons. And the way they left the cliffhanger, which was already planned, they remember how like they joked around about doing a far future apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they left. And they said that's exactly what they were going to do. The last two seasons were going to be in the far future apocalypse. Or far
and you're off the game.
I'm mad nuts. And they were going to do that. And that's exactly how they had it mapped out. Because if you remember Army of Darkness, there was an alternate ending where he goes into a there was a screw up with him coming back where he goes into like an apocalyptic future. As an alternate ending. And you know, fans were always like, oh man, I want to see this apocalyptic future type thing. So that's what they were setting up for season 4 and 5. But Stars, Encore, whatever, decided to cancel it. The series, 2 weeks. They announced it 2 weeks before. And actually, they announced it in the middle of them filming, or they were almost done filming. They had like 1 or 2 days left filming the season finale, which soon became the series finale. And they decided, nope, we're just going to film it as is and let it go from there.
All right. Well, before we switch to the next subject, if you want to join in the call, or if you're listening and you want to join in the call and have it make your comment, or say hi to Pogo or me or Rain, there's a way to do that. How can you do that, Pogo Man?
Pick up the phone and call a number. Oh, and that number is 714-583-6908. Again, that number to call in is 714-583-6908.
And there you go.
Now, this phone number only works on Saturday night. I mean,
yeah,
when the show's live.
Yeah.
If the show's on. Or five nights from one. If you listen to the Monday Night Replay, don't bother calling in. You can try, but we're not here. And if somebody picks up, I'd be shocked because I'm not here. I'm watching Monday Night Raw.
Okay.
And then you'll get yelled at for interrupting.
No, I won't. The studio's closed. I won't die. I'm shocked. If somebody picks up, it might be one of the janitors. It might be a janitor bot, but, you know.
Okay.
Next, we now
leave movies and comics, comic books.
We do.
To cartoons. Now, HBO Max.
Really?
And HBO Max is bringing back the Looney Tunes. Now, I've seen some of the newer shorts. They look pretty good. They try to keep it as faithful as they could to the original, except now for one subject. And the subject is concerning Elmer Fudd and Yosemite Sam. HBO Max will not allow Elmer Fudd or Yosemite Sam to have guns.
And so they just might as well not do it.
The reason why of the gun issue, also a form of bullying, and they're going to keep the bombs, they're going to keep the dynamite, they're going to keep the safes. They're going to keep the anvils. But the gun is gone. But Elmer will not be hunting weaponless. No. They're going to give him a scythe or a scythe, depending on how you pronounce it. Basically, the Grim Reaper's bladed weapon.
Because if a gun scares little children, nothing says safe as someone coming at you with a big, giant Reaper Knight thing, Sky thing.
So, yeah, we now have the Grim Reaper. At the same time, if you're a metalhead, you can now have a whole lot of fun with a whole lot of metal songs. You know, one to the hills, one for your wife. And there's a whole bunch of jokes that I was starting on Thursday with Metal Day. When I heard that, and people were getting a good kick out of that one.
That's stupid, though. That's like doing a Superman movie, but taking away Superman's shield, his S symbol, or doing a Batman movie, but hey, you can't wear the cowl.
Yeah. Okay, and Pogo, what's your opinion on it?
The hell's the point of that? I say, what the hell's going on around here?
That boy is about as sharp as a bowling ball.
That's right. That boy's IQ is about 5 points less than a doorknob.
Bloody Wolfie goes, I welcome the idea of a Gweb Weeper.
I'm just fascinating how Mad Viking does Elmer Fudd so good.
I want to backtrack a little bit because there were a couple of other, Bugs Bunny cartoons before we got to this. Now, the Bugs cartoon just mainly focused on Bugs. There were some of the others, but it wasn't really the same. The Looney Tunes show was basically the characters in Suburbia, and okay, we all get it. No one's going to be shooting off a gun in Suburbia.
Well, what's
I just
next?
Have one
taking away Bugs Bunny,
I have
carrot?
Comments. I have
right.
a comment.
Okay.
Space Jam 2 just won't be the same.
Yeah, so basically, I was about to get to it. So basically, the last time you will see Elmer Fudd with a gun, well, it's not Space Jam. It's the one that followed after that, Looney Tunes in Space. Where Elmer chases them into the Louvre.
I just think they just need to protest, come up with signs. Looney Lives Matter.
Oh,
that's right. But that's all, folks.
So yeah, and so neither,
stop
and they also mentioned
our heroes.
And they, like I said, they also mentioned Yosemite Sam. I'm going like, you should have those guns.
Oh, dang, Tarzan, tarnation.
If you take away Yosemite
really
Sam's
bad.
Guns, why even have a Yosemite Sam? That's ridiculous.
I mean, okay, if you want to go into the full tilt 21st century, we got to be this, that, and the other thing, fine. But keep the gun. Why? If there was any reason for gun safety, gun responsibility, it's Elmer Fudd. How many times has that gun blown up in his face? How many times?
Every time.
But on a good note, it's going to make my brother's mud flaps of Yosemite Sam with holding big two giant guns that says back off, varmint, really, really valuable. He might want to take
That's
them
right.
off the trucks and eBay mm-hmm. those.
And if you find a Warner Brothers made DVD of Bugs Bunny that has the rabbit season, duck season skit, grab it. Don't open it. That's now gold. Everyone's checking their DVD collections right now, or their
the
VHS.
No. Gotta go. Oh, just actually, I don't have any Looney Tunes in my collection. That's odd. Everybody's running to eBay. Sheesh.
Yeah, basically anything that has Elmer Fudd with a gun, their value
mm-hmm.
just went up.
Yeah, and that includes VHS too for all of you.
Yeah. What's a VHS?
So yes. Yeah, so yeah, Space Jam counts in that category.
Video home okay. system.
I know.
I had someone goes, they didn't use a gun in Space Jam. Yes, they did. If you remember, they were going against the Monstars, and all of a sudden, bang, bang, and there's Yosemite Sam and Elmer Fudd dressed as John Travolta and Samuel Jackson from Pulp Fiction.
That's right.
So, yes, Space Jam does count.
That's ridiculous. That's like doing another Star Trek movie, but taking away the starship. You just have a bunch of guys standing around in a room.
Yeah, it would be taking away their phasers.
They're on a planet. Dude,
like, stop.
No. Dude, no. It's called, dude, where's my starship?
Well, I mean, it's stupid. Why even bother?
Yeah, it's like that, you know. Like I said, everything else, I'll give credit where it's due. They get it. They got it pretty good. You know, with Sylvester and Tweety, okay, great. They nailed that one. Porky Pig and Daffy Duck, great. No problem there.
Mm-hmm.
But how can you have Elmer Fudd trying to hunt down Bugs Bunny with a scythe? Or a scythe, either way.
But you know what they could have done? They could have showed them with their guns, but never drawn them or never fired them. I mean, they could have chips it. How many, you know, go back and watch Chips. They had guns. Show me one episode where they actually drew their weapons. Never.
That's going to
like,
be it.
That's like the Andy Griffith Show.
Well, no, he drew the gun. It's just that Don Knotts was so sick.
Well, no,
he
actually,
never fired
there are a couple of Andy Griffith right. shows where it shows Andy with a gun.
Yeah,
but
not
well,
Andy.
No, he always had his gun. Right, you know, Andy had his gun. He goes, no, let me go in and talk to him.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on a second. Hold on, I got it. Are you kidding me?
But, also on the Andy Griffith shows, there's four episodes that shows Andy Griffith smoking a cigarette.
Now they'll be gone soon. But yeah, it's like, but like I said, you know, the previous two, at least they set it in a situation where they had a legitimate reason.
Folks, I just want to talk to you about the errors by dialing. and people just unaware that they're butt dialing. No, I'm sorry. This is bed dialing. When you leave your phone on your bed, and when somebody's screaming, "Hello!" 15 times, and you don't hear it even, like, after the fact, and I hang it up, and I call back, and you don't even have the decency to pick up the phone. Yeah, that's what just happened there.
I had something similar to do that. Okay, it was like I was in college, and you know, I'm going like, okay, I'm at McDonald's. What do you want? I want this. Okay, so I think I closed the phone. You know, I thought I turned off the phone. No, I left it on. So they got to hear me having a almost recreation of "Dude, Where's My Car?" and then scene. I'm going like, okay, want a Big Mac? They said no pickles. All right, so pickles with onions. No, I didn't say onions. I said no pickles. Keep the onions, no pickles. So no pickles, no onions. And I was like, no, keep the onions, no pickles. And this went on for a while.
Finally, God, that's funny.
All of a sudden, I finally they get the order, and I just turn around in a headache, bend over, and I'm hearing laughter coming from my pants. I'm like, what the? Oh, I left it on. They were being entertained. Well, I'm doing a recreation of the and then scene of "Dude, Where's My Car?"
Right, and then,
like, I got a story. When before the cell phones, when you just had your regular house phones, you get a bill and you look on there and you see a call to Tokyo for $80, all because your niece got a hold of the phone and somehow called Tokyo for
obvious.
20 minutes.
Oh.
And you're on the phone with the phone company trying to explain to them that it was your stupid 3-year-old niece and you don't know nobody in Tokyo.
All right. Another story. I have to get to another story here. Back to the business. So, remember how great I was explaining how great HBO Max is?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's
certain
great.
DC movies are leaving the service next month. And now HBO Max explains why.
Okay.
So, earlier this week, HBO Max subscribers. HBO Max subscribers pursuing the DC section of the new streaming service may have noticed that a number of superhero movies are only available until July 1st. What? This discovery was certainly confusing since the platform launched just 2 weeks ago, and it seems rather early to be getting rid of content, especially titles that the WarnerMedia back service owns the rights to. Fortunately, it sounds like the shakeup isn't permanent. A representative for HBO Max recently told Observer, why certain movies are leaving next month. According to the spokesperson, the movies leaving HBO Max in July will eventually find their way back to the service. In the meantime, they're gearing up to premiere new DC movies on the platform to fill the space left behind. Okay. We have a collection of DC films that will rotate on the platform, the rep explained. We have a new batch coming in July and another batch coming in August. And I have just confirmed that the batch that is on right now will be returning. Okay. HBO Max obviously isn't the only streaming service that offers DC titles. DC Universe also has its own selection of live-action and animated DC films that aren't currently available to watch on HBO Max, such as Batman Ninja and the original Superman movie from 1978. /Film notes, letting the platform share these films might encourage subscribers to pay for both services instead of one. It's still unknown what the quote-unquote new batch of DC movies hitting HBO Max next month will include. However, films like Aquaman, great movie, Shazam, great movie, Green Lantern, Pass It,
yeah,
Skip Burn It, Destroy It, and Supergirl, it was all right, better than Green Lantern, will remain in its library. Go watch Aquaman Shazam over and over again. Just skip that Green Lantern thing. Pretend it never happened.
Unless you're having a Mystery Science Theater 3000 party, then you can play it.
Oh, Riff Track, yeah, do that or Riff Tracks the hell out of the Green Lantern thing. Jesus Christ, please do. And just remember, there's a Green Lantern live series with live action series coming to HBO Max soon. Woo-hoo, two thumbs up. I'm giving two thumbs up. I say, you guys couldn't see, that's why I say two thumbs up.
I got a ring by a dying purple dude. To infinity beyond.
So, and remember, HBO is not only on TV, but also on consoles and computers. Now, if your computer's been having problems, well, me, Pogo, and Rain know a company that can help you on that. Right, Pogo?
Sure, you know, we're going to talk about something else right now, but
sorry.
It's okay.
Well, I figured, I looked at the time, I figured we better do it now while we still can.
Okay, we'll do this commercial and then I'll go back to what I want to talk about.
If you're listening here, you are a gamer in some form. Gamers have different needs for the computers and internet capabilities,
yes.
Just like businesses, charities, and organizations. And just like any high-level use computers, you need a specific system for your needs. You need Metamorphosis IT. Metamorphosis IT is not just tech support, not just service, but solutions. Integrating your computer, servers, cell phone, smart TVs, and all your needs to simplify and coordinate the process. Go to mi-solutions.tech to schedule a consultant evaluation of your system and how it can be improved. Again, Metamorphosis IT at mi-solutions.tech. Tech, transforming your experience of technology.
Well, wasn't that lovely?
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
we now go back to our we now go back to our regular scheduled programming.
It's Pogo Show.
Right.
To quote a famous actor, you know, it's Pogo Show. So let's do everything you want to do.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know how DawnCon's coming up in July? We've been doing it for years, and, you know, it's our at-home con, and we're the originators of the at-home con, and a few other cons decided to do an at-home con this year, and our thing is, we did it first! And we do it the same weekend as San Diego Comic-Con. Well, now it seems that the table has turned, the worm has turned, shoes on the other foot. Use whatever cliche you want to use, because now it's been announced this week that San Diego Comic-Con is now being called San Diego Comic-Con at Home. And it begins on July 22nd. Do these dates sound familiar? Oh, they will once I'm done reading this. So, nearly 2 months after the coronavirus pandemic forced Comic-Con International to scrap this summer's biggest comic convention, the organizers are reworking the event into something that anyone can partake in. Well, that's the cool part. And, as dictated by the new status quo, you won't even have to leave your house.
Oh, really?
Where have I heard this before? CCI has just announced that San Diego Comic-Con at Home will take place from July 22nd to 26th. Where have I heard these dates somewhere before? CCI previously teased Comic-Con's virtual replacement with a video posted last month. But today, the organization shed new light on what to expect from this iteration of the annual festival. In a new press release via CBR, CCI is promising an online exhibit hall where patrons can take advantage of promotions, specials, and limited edition products. There will also be a masquerade and gaming activities for fans to connect with each other. Of course, it wouldn't be Comic-Con without panels that spotlight upcoming comic, film, TV, and gaming releases. Fortunately, it sounds like those will still happen in some capacity. It isn't clear which publishers or studios will have a presence at this year's conventions. At this year's convention. However, CCI will announce more details as the event draws nearer. Throughout the 4-day stretch, fans are also encouraged to use the official hashtag Comic-Con at Home hashtag to join virtual activities. For the first time in our 50-year history, we're happy to welcome virtually anyone from around the globe, SDCC spokesperson David Glanzer said in the statement. Though stay-at-home conditions makes this a very difficult time, we see this as an opportunity to spread some joy and strengthen our sense of community.
We did it first. We're the original stay-at-home con. That's Dawn Con. You don't want to go to San Diego Comic-Con home. Go to Dawn Con 6. What the hell is going on here?
I'm glad that Comic-Con is going to go, because now I can, you know, that $500 costume that I've, you know, spent making my costume that cost me $500, I'm so happy because now I can put it on to sit in front of my computer.
Mm-hmm.
And for Comic-Con. Yay!
I got to say this. What I'm glad about is now I can log on and buy all the exclusives.
Yeah. Yay.
I could buy the exclusives at regular rate instead of going, I have to go on eBay and spend like five times the amount.
You're
going to
be spending five times the amount.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be this little thing down at the bottom. Shipping and handling doesn't count.
Well, no. Well, shipping and handling are one thing. No, I'm talking about, like, if you go to eBay. No. You're going to spend five times the amount and then shipping. Then they get you for shipping and handling.
But see, part of Comic-Con, too, was to meet your... The reason why you go to the panels is to meet the actor, to meet your idols. Which how you, yeah.
Right. I like to
now
go
you
to the
can meet them on a video chat.
I like to get, for our show, for this show, I like to get the news and, you know, like it's a tradition here. We get, the panels, you know, we take 2 weekends of Comic-Con, you know, to do like all the big news coming out. You know, because like the first weekend we do the Thursday, Friday news, right? And then the next weekend we do the Saturday, Sunday news that comes out.
Now,
you know,
I want to...
news from D.C.
To me, that's exciting.
You know, like movies coming out.
An Undertaker phone call. Wake up phone call.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to point out that, and Pogo Man knows this, they are also, you know, San Diego Comic-Con is not exactly the first one to try to claim that they were the first online one. There was a couple of others related to Emerald City. And I took a look at some of the, you know, the webinars that they had. Now, if it was concerning about a movie that's coming up or a TV show that's coming up, or a cartoon, then you had views.
Right.
But if they try to bring in anything political, I can honestly say it. I actually looked, you know, you go to YouTube and you see the thumbs up, the thumbs down, and how many views? No thumbs up, no thumbs down, zero views. Hint.
I was going to say,
that's
going to
be embarrassing.
No. Well, I find out these conventions, unless it's something like you said, like comic book news, panels about movies, comic books, TV shows, things like that, you're not going to get views. You know what I mean? You're not going to get that. Movies, TV shows, comic books, cartoons, you're going to get those. Anything else, you're not going to get the views at them. And I think by the time SDC... Now, what I'm wondering about now, what's going to happen New York Comic-Con?
I don't know. They have not really said much on
anything yet.
They're probably going to hold back and see how the Comic-Con goes, and if it goes great...
The coronavirus.
Because
I went... I finally got to go last year. What was that? You're breaking up. What was that? And what?
Coronavirus and one other factor. Let's face it. Neither you or me are going near the city anytime soon.
Yeah, population, yeah. I think they're going to hold on. I think they're going to do an at-home this year and then next year, which sucks because I really wanted to go this year. I wanted to go so bad.
Damn you, Corona.
But you know what's actually good, though, this year? I wanted to go with my brother-in-law, and he wanted to go. It's a Jewish holiday this year, the weekend.
Oh.
So a lot of Jewish people aren't going. They announced the weekend. Unless they change it, because they announced, like, on the back of the program that you got when you were there, on the back of the book, they announced it, and a lot of Jewish people went, oh, great, it's a Jewish holiday.
Oops.
And it's one of those holidays, I think it's like one of those holidays they can't go out, because they said, great, we can't go at all to any of those days.
Space bar, so, before we get AFK'd out.
hold on.
There we go.
Very good. I know. And how much time do we have left?
30 minutes.
I have 3 gaming updates to do.
Okay, I can take care of mine very quickly. Ship of Heroes and Valiants, done. Next.
Okay. All right. I have Heroes and Villains. Let me just get back to there.
Oh, here we go.
All right, I have 3 weeks of updates. All right. Starting with May 29th. All right. As you know, give Golden Girl credit. She's putting these out on the Friday nights. So this is update number 392. This week, we've been doing more work on trying to find solutions to the problems that traditional MMO character standardization mechanics cause when it comes to creating many of the character concepts that are taken for granted in a traditional comic book universe. The most obvious example, which really illustrates the scale and scope of the problem, is the most classic of all superhero character concepts, the Superman type, the combination of strength, speed, flight, and near invulnerability simply can't exist within the standardized mechanics of a typical MMO, because the gap between it and a normal human character would shatter any framework of balance between character types. In an actual comic book, this difference between character types isn't a problem, as the stories can be tailored to fit whichever characters are featured in them, regardless of their relative power levels. But in a traditional MMO, this simply isn't possible. That's true. Mm-hmm. Unless you have freeform, and then you can pick and choose your powers. And then roleplay it. Okay, this is from last week, June 5th. This is update number 393. This week, we've been doing more work on the problems caused by the character standardization that's used by traditional MMOs to achieve balance at the expense of authenticity to whichever genre they are using, but which isn't especially noticeable in a comic book game because of the huge diversity in character types and power levels found within comics. If that range of character types is generalized into 3 very broad categories, the normal human, the superhuman, and the god type, then you can make a comic book game that only allowed for god type characters. With the game world and all the mechanics designed to deliver an authentic experience as a god-type character, you could do the same in a game designed only for superhuman characters, just like you can make a game that only let players make normal human characters and have it designed around them. But when you have to allow for all 3 character types in the same game, then the design of the world and the mechanics becomes filled with problems because of the need to balance all 3 categories so that they could team up to do the same content. Well, you know, shit happens. That's when you have point total. That's when you have a point limit. All right, and this is from last night. If we'd done a show last night, I'd say this from tonight. But this is from last night. Actually, it's a good thing because I wouldn't have seen this last night. So, this is update number 394. We're closing in on the 400th update. This week, we've been continuing with work on trying to find solutions to the conflict between mechanical balance and comic book authenticity in terms of what character types that player can create and how they play. City of Heroes was based mechanically around the average of superhuman, normal human character concepts were funneled upwards in terms of power, and god-type character concepts were funneled downwards in terms of power, so that both were mechanically balanced around the superhuman character type, creating a balance around the superhuman types. This meant that any character concept in COH
could team up with any other character concept, and they could play through any of the content, which created a balanced multiplayer game, but at the expense of comic book authenticity. Have a heroic villainous weekend, the heroes and villains team.
Wow, and three in a row, and Golden Girl did not give you a conniption.
I know. I'm very proud of her. And I have two more updates. Yesterday, Marvel made an announcement. Iron Man relaunch is coming in September. Tony Stark may be done in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but the Armored Avenger isn't done as Iron Man. Dan Slott's run with the characters ending soon, so Marvel has announced a brand new series coming this fall. Marvel has also released a trailer for the new series by Christopher Cantwell, Dr. Doom, and artist Cafu. That's the artist is C-A-F-U, I beg your pardon, of Jane Foster's Valkyrie. Beyond a glimpse of Iron Man's new armor, the trailer didn't reveal much. However, it did tease that fans will see a lot more of Tony Stark's vulnerability while stressing his human nature more than once. You can watch the full trailer in the player below. You can also check out the new wraparound Iron Man number one cover by Alex Ross, who also designed the new armor. Okay.
Right.
I'm over the moon about getting a shot at writing the Golden Avenger, said Cantwell in a statement. Since Bob Layton's art in the 1980s captured my imagination as a kid, I've been fascinated by Iron Man. And in this new story run, I'm aiming to explore the question, who should Iron Man be today? An angel? A god? Or just a humble man? Tony's going to try and strip the idea of Iron Man all the way down to its metal core, something that will constantly be at odds with his giant ego. We'll see if he can truly keep his arrogant self-image in check, even as others with god complexes set their sights on the entire universe. Iron Man number one will hit comic shops in September. Okay, and I'll post it later, and there will be a video at the bottom of the page when I post it. And there is a picture of the Iron Man armor. You can barely you can see part of it, most of it. Looks pretty cool. And the last story I saw, kind of funny. Okay. Bill and Ted Face the Music moves up a week. Almost every major movie has abandoned this summer's cinematic landscape thanks to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. However, Orion Pictures' Bill and Ted Face the Music isn't giving up on the summer. In fact, it's moving up a week. According to Deadline, Bill and Ted Face the Music will now hit theaters on Friday, August 14th. That date was previously held by Wonder Woman 1984. But now Wonder Woman 1984 has moved back all the way to October. Until Warner Brothers, pushed it back to October 2nd, earlier today, or yesterday. Orion originally had Bill and Ted Face the Music slated to arrive on August 21st. The first trailer for the film premiered earlier this week. Alex Winter and Keanu Reeves will reprise their respective roles as William Bill S. Preston Esquire and Ted Theodore Logan. In Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, the Wild Stallions were told that their music was destined to change the world. However, their destiny was nearly derailed and Bill and Ted's bogus journey. In Face the Music, Bill and Ted are middle-aged musicians with daughters of their own, but they'll be forced to come up with a song to preserve the timeline in under 80 minutes, or else the future that was promised may be lost forever.
And I know a lot of people have been waiting for that one.
And I know some people who haven't.
And I noticed no City of Titans. I assume they're probably hunting us down from the last one. caught something. For those who do not know, let me refresh the story. They came up with the game currency, and they had a few currencies, but one of them caught our attention. Glory. Now,
oh,
Rain,
yeah.
Rain, being a farmer, will probably enjoy the humor in this one.
What? Farmer?
When,
what the...
when it
why
comes
do you get
to...
that?
Anyway, for those who want to... have they found the skeletons? No, they're going to put the skeletons in. Basically, you know, for those who farm their in-game currency, they'll sit in one area and stay there. Basically, they hole themselves up in it. Well, if you're hunting for glory, yeah, I can see in City Titans, hey, guys, I just found a glory hole.
And I said, well, wait a minute. I bet I could do one better. We could nickname it the G-Spot.
So, yeah, they're hunting us down now.
Oh, they're looking. Where are they? We know where they live. Oh,
that...
and in case you wonder where we've been, yes, the Paragon Radio News satellite has been in its ultra-stealth mode.
But, yeah, I mean, we were talking about, you know, Pokemon was, he saw on City of Titans that if you'd put in a certain amount, they could put in a particular area where, you know, where there'd be a perk, you get a badge, whatever, of us two as skeletons. I think now they're going to go, we'll do this pro bono.
Yeah.
Pro boner.
Holy mackerel.
Well, they can't do that now. I caught them on that one. Can't do it pro bono.
So now it won't be two skeletons. It'll be three skeletons or two skeletons being held in a bra.
Bring it. That's all I can say. Bring it. They can do all they want. That game ain't never going to get off the ground. It's been like, what, 15 years now? The people that are waiting for a game to be like COH, are now playing the remake of COH. They're not going to leave there to go over there.
But but I'll give them
if you're
credit.
Looking
they
for
did
a
get
Corvette
the custom creator out.
And somebody's trying to make a Corvette-like car, and you're looking for that special, unique, can't find it, don't build it anymore, and someone's building something like it. And you find the original, that original car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're not going to get rid of it to go drive a lookalike. So, pretty
yeah,
much when all those people made the original City of Heroes come back and everything, to me the
mm-hmm.
City of Titans and the other one, can't even remember its name. They
here
should have just thrown their stuff up in the air and said, "Well, we're done."
Hold on. Oh, she blows!
Well, I mean, it's senseless. Ain't no, they're taking forever. Everybody that was waiting for them is like, you know.
Now, let's see. Didn't they say the game would be out 2015? Well, almost every one of them. Okay, Ship of Heroes is innocent on this one. They actually began at 2015. But everyone else,
right.
2015 was the date.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're
going to
come
so.
Out with City of Titans about the time that I'm going to be in a nursing home. I can't see. I need an oxygen mask. And I'll get to play it for 2 minutes before I croak dead.
Hugo's going like, yeah, we're guaranteeing we're going to be in that sewer. Skeletons.
Oh, you can just say. Well,
no.
It was off her.
No. No, I'm the English.
This is the part of the show where Hugo Man is flashing before your radio viewer screen. Not responsible for what this bitch is saying.
The views expressed by Mad Viking and Sovereign Reign are their own. I have no idea what they're talking about.
He pirated my show, as they do always.
Well,
but
we're not going to World War We're now going from a low orbit of 6 feet to a high orbit of 6 million feet.
His next show, we're just going to be as cardboard cutouts, Matt. Because he's going to recast us.
Look, here's my juggling act. I'm going to do my juggling act now. Look. See? I'm juggling.
He's going to recast us. He's going to have two rocks on his table that say Rain and Mad.
I will give City Titans credit. They actually came out with the costume creator. You got it, yes. Logo.
Yes, I know I do. I've used it.
He waited 15 years for a costume creator. All right, electronic paper
doll.
It
hasn't been 15 years. It's been a couple of years. Oh, my God, 15 years.
Electronic paper dolls. All right, we can play Barbies.
First of all, City of Heroes, the first time closed down 2012.
Okay.
She's acting like it's been 15 years. She's going 15 years.
Well, how long has it been?
2012 to now, 8 years.
Eight years. Well, 8 years to wait for paper electronic paper dolls. Yeah. I can stay in my room and do costume creator.
Go ahead. Okay. Let's see you do it. How long?
It won't be quite a while.
Pogo, you have seen me sit in Champions Online in the tailor when Rain is making a costume.
No. How long will it take Rain to create her own costume creator?
I'm talking about standing in my bedroom closet and putting on different clothes.
Oh, that's different. I thought you were going to create your own costume creator.
The real-life costume creator.
And Pogo, same answer.
Want me to build your costume creator? I'll get a pen and a piece of paper and get you a pen. There you go. Draw your little stick.
Here's my response. Oh, I would like to say something here. I bought an old school Champions RPG book that I wish I'd bought back in the day. I never had it, and I wish I'd bought it back in the day. That book, Strike Force.
Mm-hmm.
I never owned it. I never saw it. And I'm kicking myself because I never bought it back in the day. I wish I had bought that book. I just got it the other day in the mail from eBay, and I'm like, son of a bitch, I wish I had gotten that thing. I never heard of it until recently, you know, and I'm like, shit.
Google those books online. I mean, you can get PDF files and print them out on your
computer. But I like to have the actual – I like to have the original. I have a collection of the originals.
Because believe it or not, there's people out there that actually bought the original books and took them apart to put them on the computer.
But I used to be a GM. I have the original. What was I going to say? You know what's funny? Somebody was selling the original rule book, the first edition, for $10 of Champions. RPG I got for $10.
Mm-hmm.
And just as a fan of the game, I bought it last summer. I was like, well, shit, I'll buy that for $10. Everybody thought that was the coolest thing. I was like, I have first edition Champions role playing game, first edition rule book, $10. I have in my collection now. Just because I thought that was like the coolest thing to have. So, shit,
obviously,
that's awesome.
He did do no researching on how much his book is worth. Thank God.
Yeah, but still, just as a fan, just to have it. You know what I mean? Just as a fan to have it, because he was like, I've never seen that one. I've never seen that book offered anywhere. So just to it to be offered, and just for like $10, I think it was like $2 shipping and handling, so it was like $12.
That'd be like if you were, you know, going garage selling and just happened to see someone who had a bunch of comic books and found a Superman number one that he was selling for a nickel.
Oh, fuck that shit. I say, here, you know what? Here's a quarter. Keep the change. I'm out of here. And just get back in my car and floor it home. Put it in a vault. Make sure nobody followed me. Go buy a safe. Put it in there. Put it in the back of my closet.
Oh. Well, it could be very useful when DawnCon comes around. One of Pogo's events will be champions playing champions on champions.
That's...
For those who are going, huh?
Yeah. Now, I'm still trying to read the rule book. I'm still trying to get through the. Not that I can't. Not that it's hard to read. I just don't have the time to read. I'm still.
I just don't like
that's
the whole,
that's why I wanted to get Strike Force. No, that's why I wanted to get Strike Force, because the Strike Force book to me is one of those books set during that time period that Champions now represents.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like the hex system that Champions use.
Yeah, it represents first through third editions. You know what I mean? It was before fourth edition. So any of the books I get like through first through third edition that I don't have, I'll grab those, like the actual books I have in my hands. Because that's what Champions now represent. Because seriously, fourth edition all of a sudden there was a campaign world. And I'm like, what? We didn't have a campaign world. And some of my players thought it was weird. It's like, why are you asking us what our players are doing? It's like, because I want your input. It even says in the book, your players should have skill. Remember, remember we discussed this? And we can talk about this now, because I think I had one guy, oh my God. It's like, how many points, in Champions now, it says 200-point characters, which is fine. Like, in Champions RPG, we always said 275 points, that's what we're going to build our characters on. No, not him. He showed up with, like, a 500-point character. Constant. It's like, dude, 275-point character. Wouldn't let me review his character. He goes, no, I'll let you know. No. Let me see the character. Why the hell is he 500 points? 200, he had to be like we were just talking about the godlike character and the superhero character and the normal character. He always had to be the Superman godlike character. I was like, oh, no. No. 275 points. And he finally did it. He's like, well, I'm like Cyclops. Okay, great. His power was he could shoot his beam once a day. Oh, fuck. Okay, here we go. Had every advantage in the book. Like, shot it once, area effect, killing attack, explosion effect, drained him of all his endurance, blah, blah, blah. And that was it. I was like, well, how many points is that? 275 points.
So basically,
it's like, let me guess. You put all your points into this. Yeah. He put all his points into this one power. No skills. No, like, remember I said take some skills, surround out your character. You know, take something to flesh out your character. Nothing. No, it was just all in his power. So I said, let me get this straight. So you walk out. You fire this thing, and then you're wiped out, and you just fall down. Yeah. And the rest of the group has to carry me.
I don't think so.
I would have said, okay.
If,
go ahead.
I would have just left you there. First of all, boring. I don't want to get to know you. I don't give a rat's ass about you. You're a detriment to the team.
Oh, I wish he would have played with...
You fire one shot, you kill everybody. You kill the good guys. You kill the bad guys. You kill civilians. What the hell is the point of that?
I would have went one step further. I would have brought in the Daffy Duck plutonium U-38 thing. It's like, I know, but I can only do it once. After
right.
that, he's dead.
It's like, does it kill you? That's actually something the group said. Does it kill him?
The group, the
and
people
it's
that.
Like,
go ahead.
Chetu, seriously, I was like, this is your character. I held a piece of paper sideways. I was like, there's no depth to this character. You have no skills. As like everybody go around the room, and he sat there yawning like he was bored. I was like, dude, right now, all these other characters are way more interesting than that character.
I wish you would play
with a fight. Because unless there's a fight, and unless they're all grouped together, this character is totally useless. And then we got to the fight, and all the villains were all scattered. And he got all, they're not grouped together for me? No, they're not. No, they're not grouped together for you. What the? What do you think? This is the bowling alley? Oh, and then, now check this out. So finally, I said, fine, they group together. He wiped them all out with one blast. So he killed like 50 of them, right? So I get 50 experience, right? How do you figure that one? Well, I get one experience point for bad guy, right? Hold on. You just took out 50 bad guys in one shot. You know how experience points works in this game, right? That was too easy for you. You should get zero experience points. There's nothing in this game that says you get an experience point for bad guy that you defeated. If it was a challenge, you get one. If it was difficult, two. Really hard, like an arch villain that it took the entire group to fight for like an hour of constant fighting. Three. And that's with a series of adventures. Okay? You're not getting 50 experience points for that one move.
Everybody just looked at him
and goes, yeah, I deserve 50. No, you deserve zero.
Like I said, I would have taken it one step further and it's like, okay, so are you putting everything into this one shot? Okay. You put everything, including your life.
Yeah. he got so mad. I'm like, dude, do you understand?
Well, we got 2 minutes left.
Right.
I just saw it. Yeah.
But this is what I dealt with every time with him. Every week, it was either he was the god mode, he was the god character, or this. I was like, come on. I was like, somebody told me I should have got Game Master of the Year trying to deal with him. I was like, are you freaking kidding me?
Oh, Rain left early. She says, sorry, I do have to get ready for work. So... Mm-hmm. She says goodbye to everyone. There we go.
Yeah. So this is what I like. I like characters with versatility, with some skills, some powers, because like my characters always had a lot of skills, like knowledge skills, like things like that, because that fleshed out the character. And everybody loved my characters. Like, yeah, because that shows they have hobbies, they have interests, blah, 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 blah. You know, like maybe they were student. Where they did this, that, and I could flesh out what they did throughout the day, like what day of the week it was, what time of the week, you know, time of the day, day of the week, where they were. And we can map out our little city. Things like that. That helps out. Once they made a campaign thing, I was kind of like, no, I don't like that. Anyway, guys, have a super week. We'll talk more about the campaign as we go along. Go watch those superhero movies, superhero TV shows, read those comic books, read those books. Get Champions now. It's a renaissance of the original Champions RPG, and it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll keep you updated as we get closer to our campaign. We will be back next week on Friday night. Anything you'd like to say in closing, sir, before we go into a little after thing really quickly?
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie. We'll see you all next week. Thank you for tuning in to Paragon Radio. Okay. Yeah, I think as we go along, I think we're going to do a special radio episode of like Champions Now as a primer to our campaign.
Yeah.
And discuss with everybody like our characters and our type of campaign. And I definitely want to do something like with everybody sitting down, maybe on air with everybody, so everybody knows what we're going to do. We like to get our thing hyped up so everybody tunes in.
All right.
I was going to try and do like a Pogo Man Year Zero with my guy, but I'm the GM, so I don't know if I'm going to actually make a character.
I say we should put this into a poll. Now, you're still thinking about putting that perk idea in City of Titans. All right, so I say the poll is, one, it's about me and you in skeletons in the sewer.
Right.
Two, three skeletons, we add rain. Or
right.
Three, two skeleton heads in a bra.
Oh, I was going to put this as a radio station.
Oh.
For Paragon Radio.
Oh, okay. So it's not going to be They Tried. I thought that's what you were talking about at first.
No. I was going to say put it as like a radio station.
Oh, okay.
If they want to do that, let them. But I'm saying put this put Paragon Radio or Radio Paragon. I think it should be Radio Paragon.
No, that's
you know
that was a
I'm
previous
thinking,
station, yeah.
Oh, that was okay. So it was on radio, apparently. So,
no, people get it confused.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. No, it's fine. Okay, we'll leave it as is. All right, then let me get going here because I got to go see what's going on with where my stepdad has to go pick up my
okay,
mom.
And I will set up for the discussion. Seventh season, Flash Point. We'll leave it as that.
What seventh season Flashpoint?
TV.
Oh.
We'll leave it at that.
Well, what do you mean for the Flash with the...
article just popped up.
Oh, really? Can you send me a link for that?
I have it on my phone, so... But you can type
it.
Okay. Seventh season, Flash, awful Flashpoint. Oh, my fucking God.
Here we go again. They have to do something.
They just fixed the animated universe. They just, you know, they're still fixing, you know, the Dark Metal's doing good. Okay, no problem. But now they're going to put it to the TV. We'll leave it at that.
Oh, well. Remember, we're talking about the CW Arrowverse, right?
Yeah.
Well, they got till January to get everything straightened out. So.
Oh, God. All right.
And you remember, what really sucks is Kate Kane, that woman, she was one of the seven paragons.
Yeah, but then now we're going to wrap up the other, you know, we're going to make Jack to one paragon.
Oh, good Lord. Holy mackerel. All right, then, sir, I will talk to you during the week.
Okay.
All right. Have a good night. Thank you.
You
good
too.
Job tonight.
Yep.
All right. Enjoy.
And yay, rain. Right. Yay.
Yay, rain showed up. Yes. Yay, rain. Good job, rain. All right. Talk to you later. Have a good night.
Goodbye.
Let me get going. Goodbye. Good night.
Hold on, let me log out of here. Just, I should shut this radio show off first. I'm worried about shutting off the game and episode. There we go. And